This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The Wisconsin Idea is the principle that the University of Wisconsin system's knowledge and resources should benefit all residents of the state, not just those on campus. It's the concept behind a UW-Madison program called University Year that aims to connect faculty and students to communities that could benefit from their work. This year, the University program is coming to Pepin County. Joining us to talk about how this work will benefit Western Wisconsin are Gavin Luter, Managing Director of the University Alliance, Kara Carper, Executive Director of Green County Development Corporation, Maria Nelson, Emergency Management Director, Zoning Administrator, and Land Information Officer for Pepin County, and Chase Cummings, Pepin County's Land Conservation and Planning Director. Gavin, I want to just have you start by explaining a little bit of what the University Alliance is.
The University Alliance is basically a group of people on campus at UW-Madison who are interested in working with cities and local governments to try to address issues and challenges that are related to kind of urban areas or settlements, anywhere that people are living, to work alongside those local governments to address the variety of issues and challenges that you have when people live in one particular area. It's a cross-campus coalition from the Global Health Institute, the Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies, to the School of Education and the School of Business, and even, you know, places like the Department of Sociology and Planning and Landscape Architecture, all these people on campus who want to help local governments and cities, but since we're such a large institution, they oftentimes don't know each other. So we're trying to build relationships across centers, departments, schools, institutes, so that we can be a little bit more accessible to local governments and cities as they deal with issues, and we can be basically bring our full force out to make us a little bit more accessible to those local governments.
Yeah, and so can you talk a little bit about kind of how this University Year program got started?
Absolutely. Basically, given that the University Alliance was trying to figure out a good way to do this, we stumbled across a model of sustainability and how universities are working with localities to advance sustainable, kind of environmental sustainable practices at University of Oregon called the Sustainable City Year. And we'd been trying to figure out a way that we could open up the resources of the university in a kind of coherent way that people weren't scratching their heads and thinking, gosh, how exactly do I tap into this? And it offered a very, very simple framework and model. So essentially, given that we were starting to get organized, we thought we need to have some simple way for people to tap into our resources. So that meant that, we kind of took cues from this model. We would just ask a local government to apply, tell us what issues and challenges that they're dealing with. Once we select that person to go through the initiative, then we just match those specific issues that they're dealing with courses at UW-Madison. It's a pretty simple concept. So we're kind of matching locally driven priorities with the resources on campus, usually through courses. It really got started once we learned about the model and we figured this could be a really simple way for people to tap in. And we started to go to a bunch of community meetings, and then the city of Monona, the city that's just adjacent to Madison, said, we want to be your guinea pigs. Tell us how we can work with you. And we put together the arrangement and off we were running. We matched about 35 projects with Monona. And I know we're going to talk a lot more about what that process looks like, but that's how it got started. Is we just really want to find ways to make UW more accessible. Of course, we have the Wisconsin Idea, as you mentioned in your introduction, but sometimes that the connections on campus are a little harder to make. So we realized if we really streamlined this process, offered one point of entry for local governments, that can make things a little bit easier.
Yeah, I wonder, Chase, if you feel like the Wisconsin Idea is always put into practice well.
I think it has its bumps in the road and hills and valleys, depending on which perspective you're bringing from it. But for the most part, I think, there's great benefit that we've seen, within our local community, bringing that concept, whether that's through UW Extension or other aspects that the university can provide for us. A lot of times that goes beyond just our local extension agents, and it's a broader university implementation. But I think there's definitely some benefits to it. I think sometimes it gets lost in the shuffle, and it needs to be brought back to the forefront of what some of the planning and ideas that come out of local communities. But I think for the most part, seems to be prevalent when we try to make it prevalent.
Yeah, and Chase, I wonder if you could talk about why Pepin County was attracted to this university program.
Sure. We're a small county. We have limited resources, just like many other individuals, though we're not unique in the sense that our staff capacity is never enough. Our funding resources are never enough to meet the needs or the aspirations that we want to see. So I think, this program was brought to our attention through Maria and through Gavin, and it looks like it's something that we can kind of benefit from partnerships a little bit broader than what we're used to. And I think there's some opportunities there that we can fill those gaps in our resources that we lack, and also give a good experience to students, people looking to get into the profession or look at government planning, land use planning. And I think that's what's attractive to us as well. Not only the resources and the things that we can gain, but also what type of education can we provide to help improve someone's outlook on something long-term that could benefit us again in the future.
Yeah, Maria, I wonder if you want to build on kind of what you think Pepin County can gain from being involved in this new partnership.
I think that Pepin County has a lot to gain. As Chase said, we have limited staffing capabilities, and we have some environmental issues, particularly related to our water, that we have been working on for a couple of years, and it's hard to move it forward. And I think having the students build on what we've already done for research and look at it in different ways, we might get some solutions that the county staff haven't thought of. One of our other core capabilities that we're hoping to build on is our economic development with research-based projects to help us focus the county's efforts on what we can improve in our communities. For example, DRAND is investigating whether or not they should expand and create a business park, and they're trying to increase the investment in their use of downtown districts. So we're hoping that the students at UW-Madison or even UW-Eau Claire, La Crosse, any other institutions that want to participate are able to help us find solutions. We have a tiny village called Stockholm with 66 people, and they have a drainage channel that runs through the village off the bluffs. And they want us to have the engineering students or landscape architecture try to figure out how they can slow down the drainage and stuff like that. So there's a lot of little projects where the county doesn't necessarily have the capacity or expertise to help our community solve these problems.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about University Year, a UW-Madison program that's helping address local challenges in Pepin County. We're here with Maria Nelson and Chase Cummings from Pepin County's Land and Conservation Planning Department, Gavin Luter from the University Year Program, and Kara Carper from Greene County, a previous University Year participant. Before we continue digging into some of the projects that are going to be happening in Pepin County, I kind of want to take a step back and hear from you, Gavin, about what other communities and counties has the University Year Program worked in so far?
Yeah, thanks for that question. We, as I mentioned in my opening comments, our first community that we worked with was the city of Monona, a small city, actually about the size of Pepin County, about 7,000, 8,000 people. And they're just adjacent to downtown Madison. And then we also, the next year, we worked with Dane County Board of Supervisors. And that, of course, is UW-Madison sits in Dane County. So we worked with our home county. And then this is the first year that we worked outside of Dane County with Greene County. I would say kind of on average, we have about 20 or 30 courses that we apply to these particular projects. And right now, I mean, we really don't feel like we're geographically limited. You know, since, like I said, we had a good, successful program with Monona and Dane County, and then we decided to go a little further out with Greene County. And this year you'll hear a little bit more from Kara, and she can kind of speak to the projects we did in Greene County. I don't really think our program suffered too much from getting a little farther away. So that's why we felt comfortable expanding out. And we are looking forward to working with communities even, you know, potentially even farther away than Pepin County in the future, because the Wisconsin idea is not just, you know, South Central Wisconsin. The Wisconsin idea is the entire state of Wisconsin. So that's who we worked with in the past. Hopefully in the future, we continue to serve the entire state.
I'm sure there is a bit of, you know, management that goes along with this program, in that, you know, having 30 projects kind of ongoing throughout the year, I'm sure that that requires some kind of juggling.
Yeah, absolutely. That's part of the reason why my job exists, is to oversee all the projects. I mean, I don't want your listeners to think that we just kind of loosey-goosey do a match and then we move forward. Instead, we match the projects with a particular faculty. We do a scope of work process that is really driven by us at the University Year Program. And then we get the consensus of the local government official. We make sure that those projects are exactly what is needed. I think that's probably the hardest part of the program, is to make sure that we get everything set up in the front end so that the local government states exactly what they want done. Where are they with that current project? What kind of data can they offer us? And then we agree on what the deliverables will be. And this is really where the faculty and the students listen to what the local community wants done. And then we agree on those deliverables. We agree on a timeline, usually semester-long projects. And yet you're right. I mean, there is a lot of juggling, because in addition to the scoping process, we also want to evaluate and make sure that the local government is getting what they want. We want to make sure students are having a good experience and they're getting good civic experiences, and they can apply their learning to concrete kind of practical settings. And then we want to make sure that the faculty are happy as well. So that's really all our job as kind of the manager of the broader projects, is to make sure that everybody is getting something that they want, kind of make sure that this is a mutually beneficial relationship. And I really want to emphasize that, you know, UW doesn't know everything, and we have a lot to learn, and our faculty and students can really benefit from really the wisdom that's out there in the local communities. So juggling and making sure that all that stuff is getting done constitutes a full-time job. And that's part of a really big part of my job. And we also have a program manager who makes sure that all these moving parts are kind of attended to, and that the trains run on time.
What lessons has the university program learned from these partnerships that have already been completed? I wonder if there have been any projects designed that municipalities have decided not to move forward with.
Yeah, I mean, one of the lessons that we learned is that, you know, university year actually makes working with communities easier for faculty if they are willing to work with an external client. We realize that not every course is well suited to doing projects like this. We've had a couple of projects that weren't really successful. I would say it's only been about 5% of the about 90 projects that we've already done just haven't really worked out well. Maybe it's because the faculty member hasn't really worked with the client before, or the curriculum is too jam-packed. We learned that kind of stuff is, you know, those projects don't really work as well. You know, I always say, Hope, and I hope everybody on the call can appreciate this, I work with a coalition of the willing. I do not twist anybody's arm to get involved. That includes the local government and the faculty. I don't want to have to convince people too much that this is good for them. I usually work with very public service minded faculty and, you know, people who are in local governments who are very open and willing to share. So we've learned that not all courses are right for this kind of project. We've also learned that the process of deciding exactly how to determine priorities is not a cookie cutter process. We have had three different university year experiences. We're getting ready to have our fourth. And we have had four different experiences in terms of prioritization of projects. Kara, in Green County, basically blasted out a lot of different localities and said, hey, Green County is doing this university year thing. And she got about 100 and so projects pitched at her. And we said, wow, that's really great. Now we need to whittle it down. We can't match everything. And Pepin learned this as well. I mean, they sat down, they identified exactly what their questions are that they wanted answered, and they pitched us one project, floodplain elevations, that our students just simply aren't able to handle. So that project, because it's a really, I don't want to go into the details too much, but it's regulated by the federal government and you have to be a certified engineer. So not all projects are going to be great fits, but the idea of prioritizing the projects, sometimes that's a very, very wide open process that a lot of people are involved in. And sometimes it's a little bit more kind of a few people at the local government kind of make the decision. We don't really have too strong of an opinion. We'd like that to be as open a process as possible, but really anything that works for the local government, we learn that. We also have learned that a bunch of different people in the community become really interested in what it is that we're doing. And the more we can communicate and tell people what's going on, that's, I think, part of the reason why we're excited to do this radio interview. The more that people can learn up front, the better the project is, I think. Kara can kind of speak to the experience of Green County, but we did a big kickoff event in Green County like we had never done before, public. We had it in Monroe High School, and it generated some buzz. Bucky came down, and we had the ice cream truck from UW come, and it was a lot more of a celebratory thing. Whereas in Monona, it was like a small networking reception with a couple of department heads and faculty. So really, it depends on what the local government wants to use this as. We think, we've also learned that the projects are more successful if the local government is already kind of willing to actually take action on the deliverables that we provide. If you're going to give us a project that really has no chance in getting implemented, then that's probably not going to be a great project because it's not going to be exciting. But if this is already building on your community's priorities and it's not kind of a weird red herring, that works really well. We've also made sure that, we've learned a bunch of stuff. Students need to be trained. Faculty need to be trained. They need to understand the history of all this stuff. Communication is important, and making sure that those scopes of work are very, very tight in the beginning. I'm sorry, I know that's a really, really long answer. We've learned a lot of stuff. And I think the biggest thing that we've learned is that UW is better if we have people from the world of practice and outside of campus helping our students learn concepts and our faculty teach concepts that are hard to just lecture on.
That's Gavin Luter from the University Alliance here with us today to talk about the University Year Program, a UW-Madison program that's helping address local challenges in Pepin County this year. He's joined by Kara Carper from Green County, a previous University Year participant, and Maria Nelson and Chase Cummings from Pepin County's Land Conservation and Planning Department. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Kara, I want to hear from you about why Green County wanted to be involved in this university program and a little bit about the projects that went on in your county.
Thank you, Hope. Yes, we, as Maria and Chase so aptly talked about, we have great staff in all of our communities and in our county, but they really often lack the capacity and the time to make changes that they need to make or to dig deep into research questions. And that's something that the students at the university really have. They have the opportunity to look at best practices. They also have the opportunity to dream a little bit, where sometimes when we're here in the trenches, working in the county, working in our communities, sometimes we get stuck in ruts. Sometimes we have problems that we identify as really things that we need to work on, but we really don't have the capacity to look at what is needed. So we basically brought together all of our communities in the county and talked about what are the projects that you need to get accomplished. And all of our communities have recently adopted new comprehensive plans. So they had already had a great public conversation about what was needed in each of our communities. So we started there. And as Gavin said, we pitched about 100 projects at the university program. And we're halfway through a three-year process. So the first year is where Maria and Chase are in Pepin County. They're looking at what projects need to be done. And then in the second year, which is where we are, the fall semester, the students are working on projects. We had about 28 projects that were completed in the fall, and they did their final project reports in December. And now there's about just over 20 projects that they're working on for the spring semester. So we'll hear those reports in May. And then the next year of the university process is where the university is going to help us implement some of the things that have been identified by the students as needing to move forward.
Kara, I'm curious if you received any pushback from involving students on planning some of these important decisions for communities in your county.
Well, as Gavin mentioned, the bringing along the coalition of the willing, that's something I really learned early on from Gavin, and I appreciate that good advice. For communities or for department heads or for people who just didn't think that this was right for them, I wasn't going to twist any arms. When we had already 8 or more than 100 projects identified, we had plenty of projects for the university students to do, many projects to pitch. We could, if someone wasn't absolutely willing and absolutely excited to move forward with this, we didn't move forward with them.
I mean, 100 projects, I feel like that really must speak to kind of the need for extra support in counties like Greene County.
There absolutely is a need, especially for our rural counties like Greene County and Pepin County. We just don't have the staff. We don't have the people power to figure out what are best practices. We don't have the funding to go out and hire consultants. And for many of these projects, we will hire consultants, but to have the students go through and figure out with communities what it is that they actually need is going to save them money in the long run. So that's something that's really important about this project. We charge the communities money to be involved with this, and so they really needed to see a return on investment. And they have seen that because the reports that we've been getting back from the students are top notch. I've been so pleased with what the students have done for Greene County, and so have the communities. And so there's a lot of buzz about that too, because, you know, when you go into this, you don't really know what kind of quality work you're going to get from these students. And we have just been blown away here in Greene County by that work.
And Kara, I wanted to add, I remember at our kickoff event, we were getting questions of like, exactly how many students are going to come and when exactly are they going to be here, thinking that they were going to show up almost like an army of students all at once. So I think people were a little nervous. I didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. I don't think that there was any direct pushback of having students come in. If anything, I mean, of course, the communities that didn't work with us, obviously they were a little bit concerned. But for those who did work with us, I think once they got a sense of, hey, you know, we're really just trying to respond to what you need, I don't think anybody was nervous. I think it was more of like, wow, this is great. Let's see what all we can get from it. And they started to realize the possibilities. So there wasn't a ton of pushback. The only thing that I remember is like, gosh, I wish I would have known these projects were going on. Some people found out about them a little late. Again, can't stress the importance of communication enough. And they could have potentially helped with something here or there. But I don't think that's pushback. That's just, I wish I would have even had more heads up than I do now. I don't know if, Kara, you would say different.
No, I would agree. That's one of the difficulties of the first year is determining what to ask for. Because at the university, the world's your oyster, really. And so there's opportunity for so many different sorts of projects. So what do you ask for, and what are your priorities? And so that's really the difficulty, which is a wonderful difficulty to have, is which of these wonderful gifts are we going to ask for, and how are we going to prioritize them? So that is one place that where anybody who enters the university program is going to struggle a little bit, because you don't know what to ask for when there are so many opportunities to ask for.
Yeah, Maria, I wonder how Pepin County has kind of looked at this opportunity and kind of evaluated what projects you want to move forward with.
Well, I would say we're still in the process of prioritizing, and it's one of those things where we've been trying to reach out to people and get ideas, just like Kara did. For example, I would love to have our schools on board, our public schools. When I told them, they're like, we don't know what we need. And it's like, well, think about it. We can do anything that you can research. There's some businesses that we can get on board through some of the marketing school programs. So we're trying to reach out to people and spread the word and get more people on board. I know I've had some emails with people recently who are like super excited about learning about this. And we're still working with people to help prioritize. And I know in our county, the determining the priority projects has been something where I've been told, you know, we can't fix the world. Like, we can't address problems that are beyond our ability to influence. So we're trying to focus on projects that are definitely needed and that'll make the greatest impact on our people, such as, like, the water quality that affects people's quality of life.
Yeah, Chase, I wonder if you could expand on that and maybe talk about how you see this opportunity affecting some issues that maybe Pepin County has been dealing with for a while.
Yes, we've been not necessarily unique here in the state, but as most people are aware, the groundwater quality, drinking water quality is gaining traction and attention lately, and we here in Pepin County, as well as many other counties, have been working with that issue and struggling with it, and to be honest, for quite some time, trying to work within the bounds of our authority as a county jurisdiction, looking at the rules that we have before us that the state legislature may have passed and we are trying to implement. And how do we implement those best management practices and those land use controls to positively affect groundwater quality? And are we necessarily seeing the results that people are expecting to see? So I think what we're looking for and hoping to accomplish is a little bit more clarity on some of that. As was mentioned before, we get kind of stuck in the trenches sometimes and lose sight of the bigger picture, just trying to put out fires and deal with the day-to-day. So having some fresh eyes and a fresh sense or new perspective on a particular issue, and I think groundwater quality is one of those, may bring some revitalized motivation, some outside thinking to try to address those concerns. And I'm hoping that not only can we get something in place here locally, but maybe that it would extend to the larger region and the state as well.
Chase Cummings, Pepin County's Land Conservation and Planning Director, is here with us today to talk about the University Year Program, how UW-Madison faculty and staff are helping area communities address problems and be more resilient. He's joined by Maria Nelson from Pepin County's Land Conservation and Planning Department, Gavin Luter, Managing Director of the University Alliance, and Kara Carper, Executive Director of Green County Development Corporation. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on how Pepin County will benefit from the University Year Program. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, WPR.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at WPR.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Municipal and county leaders face an increasing list of local challenges, from dealing with the impacts of more frequent flash flooding to making smart decisions about land use and development.
University of Wisconsin-Madison faculty and students hope to help them tackle some of these issues through a program called University Year. It's coming to Pepin County this year. Joining us today to talk about how the program could help area residents are Gavin Luter, Managing Director of the University Alliance, Kara Carper, Executive Director of Green County Development Corporation, Maria Nelson, Emergency Management Director, Zoning Administrator, and Land Information Officer for Pepin County, and Chase Cummings, Pepin County's Land Conservation and Planning Director. Gavin, I wonder if you could explain a little bit more about where funding comes from for this project. I know Kara mentioned that there are some fees associated with kind of participating, and I wonder if you can kind of provide some more details on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a really good question, and I hope that your listeners are taking good notes here because maybe they could be a part of the picture. One thing that we pride ourselves on is that we do have a fairly unique funding model. We're a blend of alumni, private sector, philanthropic, and public sector funding. We have our biggest area of support comes from a grant from American Family Insurance. We also have an individual alumni named John Holton, who's really interested in the Wisconsin idea, and he supported us. We also have an endowment on campus called the Baldwin, Wisconsin Idea Endowment. And then we also have our localities who contribute something. So in an ideal world, we have a contribution from the local governments that is really negotiated with them to figure out what's possible. In an ideal world, we'd like to have somewhere between $20,000 and $30,000 per broad project area, such as, you know, sustainability or economic development. Then we try to solicit other donations from, like I said, alumni, private sector, philanthropic, and maybe even public sector funding. We provide at UW-Madison some in-kind matches with staff time. The Nelson Institute for Environmental Studies gives us a portion of a staff member who can help us with managing the projects. I did some administrative support from an organization called COWS at UW-Madison. But for instance, in Greene County, we have support from Colony Brands, Sugar River Bank, and Monroe Clinic. Those are all private sector organizations who care about the future of their community, who stepped up and given a little bit of money to make sure that this project can actually come to Greene County. So we do think it is a unique funding model of a bunch of different people. We're not state funded. We don't just get an allocation from the state at this point to help us implement the program. It's all other sources of funding plus some in-kind support from UW offices.
Kara, do you feel like this, the money invested by Greene County into this program has been a good investment?
Oh, I absolutely do believe it's been a good investment. One of the best parts, well, there are many good things, as I've mentioned, about the students coming in and doing projects that we identified. But one of the great things that they can do is they can come in and take touchy topics that are controversial and ask questions that perhaps other community members or other staff wouldn't ask. And that truly is priceless. So not only are our communities getting the benefit of great project reports, great suggestions for where they can get their funding, but they're also getting some of those especially difficult issues out in the open that can be discussed. When students are in the room asking questions, they're very disarming, and they ask great questions. And often you can get more done with a couple of students in the room than you've gotten done for years on projects.
Is there a specific example in Greene County that comes to mind on this issue?
Oh, absolutely. I would say probably the best example of this is 911 consolidation. So our county has a 911 system, and our two cities both have separate 911 systems. So you can see how that perhaps could be a political hot potato as far as, is consolidation a good idea? Some think it is, some think that it's not. But we didn't have a lot of data on that, and it's hard when you put all the different people in the room who need to be part of that, emergency responders and our police, departments, our fire departments, our sheriff's office, you put all those folks in the room, and sometimes it's hard to talk about issues like that. And that's really a spot where you can bring students in, they can ask the hard questions, they can ask the silly questions, they can again, really disarm the situation and get to the root of the issue.
Maria, I see you kind of shaking your head over here on this issue. I wonder if maybe this is a similar issue that Pepin County has faced, or maybe reminds you of an issue Pepin County faces.
No, I'm actually just on the state, like, Next Gen 911, and I know this is a topic statewide of, like, Pepin County has a consolidated dispatch center because basically there's two villages, one city, and it just makes sense. But for a lot of the state, this is going to be a hot topic in the next couple of years as the technology and stuff changes.
Yeah, do you feel like, you know, Chase brought this up earlier when we were talking about, you know, how Pepin County wants to look into water quality as one of its issues. And I just wonder if maybe some of these projects that are going on through this university program could be translated to more broadly across the state.
I absolutely believe that. I actually grew up in Brown County, and we had some, and there still are, water quality issues over there. And we're hoping that whatever solutions are found for our county can be implemented elsewhere. I mean, it's a water quality is the governor's platform right now, and it's important to all of us for our quality of life that we can drink our water safely.
Yeah, Gavin, I mean, how is the university program hoping to translate some of the progress made in individual municipalities or counties maybe more broadly?
Yeah, you know, I think one thing that we're seeing is that a lot of issues that different localities have brought to the table are not unique to them. I would say the things that have come up most regularly are the two areas that we're working on with Pepin: economic development and sustainability, land use, water quality kinds of issues. We know that we are not alone in dealing with those issues across the state, but what we're hoping to do is that as we learn more about these issues and as we dive in and figure out some potential solutions, we want to join coalitions of other people like the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, the Counties Association, even some of the nonprofit organizations who are doing these kinds of projects to share with them what we're learning. We're going to be part of a webinar coming up soon with the Department of Natural Resources. And it's their sustainable strategies webinar through a network called Green Tier Communities, which are basically a group of communities who are interested in sustainability policies and practices. And we're going to share with them what we learned about our Judah School project in Greene County, where we're looking at making 25% of their energy coming from green sources, mostly solar, but maybe some geothermal as well. And then we also learned about, we did some projects around affordable housing, kind of workforce sustainable housing, like how do you build housing that's affordable and use green technologies. So we're trying to share those experiences with that network of people facilitated by the DNR. So I think the sky's the limit on that hope. And I also want to bounce back to an earlier question that you mentioned about return on investment that Kara was talking about. Just as a little interjection, our first mayor, Mary O'Connor, who is the mayor of Monona, estimated it's about a 10-to-1 return on investment in terms of dollars that they would have had to invest to get these deliverables the way that they are. And that's just the actual deliverables. That's not to say the value of your staff working across departmental lines, getting the word out about issues and challenges across the state through media, just what you learn about the issues. It really seems to be invaluable for them. But 10-to-1 is kind of the return on investment that that one of the mayors put on this particular project. So I'm sorry to jump back there.
That's Gavin Luter from the University Alliance here with us today to talk about how Pepin County and other counties across the state could benefit from a new partnership with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, the University Year Program. He's joined by Maria Nelson and Chase Cummings from Pepin County's Land Conservation and Planning Department and Kara Carper from Greene County, a previous University Year participant. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Gavin, I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about the timeline for this three-year partnership that the University Year Program kind of forms with municipalities or with counties.
Sure. The timeline and the actually timing of this is pretty good. We're about to put out a request for proposals in April of this year, 2019. And then in an ideal world, we will have our new partner selected by late summer, early fall this coming year to go through kind of phase one. We say 3 years. I just want to make sure that I'm clear and say it's kind of a roughly three-year partnership. It's maybe not exactly 3 years because some people come in a little bit later. But our next partner is going to be coming in the late summer, early fall of 2019. They will work with us between 2019 and 2020. I know for your listeners, you might not think of a year as starting in September or something, but we on the college campus, we think in terms of academic years. So they're going to be working with us from 2019 to 2020, whoever this new partner is. And if you have local government officials out there who want to apply, they're welcome to. Just visit our website at university.wisc.edu. They'll work with us from September 2019 until about June of 2020 to formulate their priority projects, and then we match them with courses, and then the actual projects will start over the summer or into the fall, depending on what courses we've lined up of 2020, and then into the spring of 2021, and then we'll spend that next year from 2021 to 2022 working with them on figuring out how we might be able to move some of those solutions forward. How do we implement? How do we support the implementation of some of these projects? So that is our roughly three-year partnership that we do with the local government. So like I said, it's an open application process. I do my best to get out there and talk to as many local governments as possible because I don't know if Greene County or Pepin County would agree with me, but it's difficult to just kind of cold apply without officially understanding everything that would be needed to make a successful partnership. Like, you have to be willing to dedicate resources and staff time to this. So I've been meeting with a bunch of different local governments to answer questions about this. So if you yourself are a local government official and you're interested in talking a little bit more about the timeline and what would be needed, just reach out to me, gavin@cows.org.
Kara, where is Greene County in this kind of three-phase process, and kind of what are next steps for your county?
So we're right in the middle. So we've had our year of approximately of planning. We've got one full semester behind us, so one full semester of reports. We're in our second semester, so the students are working on spring semester projects, and then those reports will wrap up in May, and then after that it's going to be implementation. So a lot of reaching out to all of our partners, finding out what resources they need to move forward. Do they need additional assistance from professors? Do they need additional assistance from the university program and from the university in any way? What sort of resources do they need to move these great recommendations forward?
And Maria, I wonder if you could share a little bit about kind of where Pepin County is in this process.
So we're still in the planning process. We're trying to scope out the projects that we've submitted to UW-Madison. We're working with a couple professors and Gavin to make sure that they understand what we want done and that they have the capacity to do it. So we're still kind of negotiating what will get done in the next year, and we're crossing our fingers everything works out that everyone wants to have completed.
And Chase, I wonder if you could share more about, when these kind of project relationships start happening. I mean, what are some of the, things that Pepin County and the different municipalities are going to be looking for as far as feasibility of these ideas?
Sure. I think, one of the big things is always funding and what's it going to cost us to implement. And that was part of some of our initial conversations, even here amongst us locally at the county, is, this all sounds good, but what is it going to cost us in the end to actually get this stuff implemented? So I think those are good conversations to have, and it's a reality. But I think that's part of the implementation process and the capacity building within our local communities to understand what that work, what the work is involved in accomplishing the goals that they want to achieve. And then how do we build upon that, which, it doesn't mean that these projects are necessarily going to be implemented in the next, 2, 3, 5 years. This could be a, long-term planning project that may take years for implementation. I even think of specific to some of our water quality issues, surface water or groundwater quality. Those are long-term plans that we have to realize that we're not going to expect to clean up any of our challenges and any of our concerns and pollutants in the next year or two. This is going to be an ongoing thing. So I think it's a good opportunity for us to communicate with our villages and our municipalities on what are the expectations, how can we continue to partner and build a relationship between us at the county and those municipalities to make sure that this project is successful, whatever that project is that those municipalities and us as a county would like to see for the community.
Chase, if you didn't have this partnership with University, I mean, how would the county tackle some of these issues?
Well, I think it would be obviously it would be a different setup. Most of us here in the county are looking for partnerships and relationships with our municipalities. We help out where we can. I think our municipalities hope for more from us at times, and I think this our approaches in the past have been always limited by what it is that we have the ability to do. And I think we would still continue to go down that path without University, trying to assist these municipalities where we can, and hope that we would have their support in some of our efforts as well. But having the University program, while we are very new in the process, it does show great potential in bridging some of those gaps and getting a lot of material and data accomplished ahead of time so that way we can continue those partnerships in a more understanding and more planning process in the long term.
Gavin, this is the furthest, Pepin County is the furthest that this University program has gotten from the campus in Madison. And I wonder in what ways maybe this partnership will serve as a model for working with future counties in the state.
Yeah, it's a really good question, Hope, and I'm glad you brought it up because, if anybody's listening and they're kind of wondering, oh, is this just a UW-Madison thing? We really hope as we get further and further away from Madison that we will have additional UW system partners, even technical colleges and private colleges and universities who are interested in doing something like this. We actually have a regional economic analysis that's going to be happening for Pepin County through a UW Eau Claire course. Tom Kemp from the economics department at UW Eau Claire is going to be doing that with his students, something he's done before for Buffalo County and a couple of other places. So we're hoping to connect in with other UW institutions. I just had a call with somebody from UW Stout as well. We have a professor from UW River Falls working with us on the city of Durand and helping them prioritize issues and maybe looking at a comprehensive planning process. So as we get further and further away, we know that the other UW campuses and other higher education institutions are going to be crucial parts to making sure that we can do this farther away from home. But I mean, I'll be honest and say that there are a lot of people at UW-Madison who are doing projects internationally and with cities across the United States and, even on, different countries within this continent. It's no different working with Tokyo, 20 some hours away than it would be working with somebody who's 4 or 5 hours away. It's not always going to be feasible for our students to be able to get out into the county, but it doesn't mean that they can't do some helpful projects alongside the community partner, especially with the technology that we have now. So yeah, we're definitely hoping that this serves as a model and show us how we can do work further away from our Madison HQ. But again, that's going to take partners, and we're hoping that anybody who's listening to this interview who might be at a university or a college who might want to get involved in getting your students connected with experiences in the world of practice and, you know, taking theory to practice, we hope that they can be a part of this solution as well.
Gavin Luter, Managing Director of the University Alliance, Chase Cummings, Pepin County's Land Conservation and Planning Director, Kara Carper, Executive Director of Green County Development Corporation, and Maria Nelson, Emergency Management Director, Zoning Administrator, and Land Information Officer for Pepin County, joining us to talk about UW-Madison's University Year Program and its work in Pepin County this year. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.